feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. She, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven to cast him to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, and that they should feed her 1,260 days. That's as far as we'll make it tonight in this. We've dealt with this off and on over, I don't know, the last couple months. Fairs have kind of gotten in the middle of all of it. And we dealt with, first of all, I want you to see, and I know we've covered all of these things. Amber, I guess you're probably going to click through because mine's not working again. My thing is due for an update on it, so maybe I'll update it tonight and that'll help. But the personality of the woman, we dealt with this before, the personality. Of course, who is this woman? It's the nation of Israel. If you don't get this fact right in Revelation 12, then all of Revelation would be a mystery. But the woman is the nation of Israel, and she's described as clothed with the sun, described as the moon under her feet, that speaks of dominion and power. She wears a crown. The 12 stars, of course, deal with the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And what is her destiny? Her destiny is to bring forth that man-child, and we know that man-child is the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll be the Savior of the entire world. So you see that part, and in the next part of this that you see in verses 3 and 4, you see a persecutor of the woman. So, and sometimes in order to identify, I was just reading a book just a few minutes ago, and the man wrote in the book, he said, in order for us to correctly identify who the woman is, we identify the other entities in here. Well, the other two entities in this passage are easy to identify. One is a dragon. Well, who is the dragon? The devil, Satan, right? The other is the child or the man child. Well, who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. So you get those two, and the rest of it falls into place. The Roman Catholic Church, being no great purveyor of following biblical doctrine anyways, they take this apart and they want to declare themselves as the woman, and the church is a woman. Well, the church didn't give birth to Jesus. Jesus gave birth to the church. So they get it kind of all backwards. Plus, the Roman Catholic Church, and then they're not the only ones. There are several other of the religious groups, they teach that the modern church has taken the place of Israel. No, Israel is Israel and the church is the church. God plainly identifies that. We read that in Revelation 21 this morning. Those gates have the names, have the 12 tribes of Israel on them, but the foundations have the names of the apostles. So all of the each one of those groups have their own place. So we dealt with it being the dragon. And I think where we ended at, Amber, is going to be point number 3 tonight, and we called this the progeny. I really borrowed that from somebody else. I needed a P word to go along with it. He said, what does the word progeny mean? It means seed, okay? The seed of the woman. So let's go to verse number 5. This is where we're going to be at tonight. It says, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. So the description here is the man-child, the seed of the woman, came into the world like any other baby. Okay, Jesus came into the world just like any other baby, but he came from the womb of his mother. But unlike any other baby, any other child, he was born without a human father. Amber, I put a couple slides in there of verses. Okay, and that way they look tired tonight. And I felt like they were going to be tired, so I wanted to give them a little help, okay? All right, so first one we're going to go to is going to be Matthew 1, verse number 20. This just deals with who Jesus is. It says, but while he thought on these things, talking about Joseph, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. How many of you believe like me tonight that whenever Job found out that Mary was with child, there were a whole lot of things that went through his mind, and probably not all of them godly, all right? Because at that point, you know, they still stoned the wife if she committed adultery. Maybe if she got mouthy. Some of those things, maybe not necessarily are bad things. You ought to at least say amen, Gary. All right. See, Tina's in the nursery tonight, so I can kind of, you know, get away with a little bit of that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, she might be watching. Amen. All right. So I take that back, honey. All right. She'd probably say, I'll stone you first. Amen. But you see, Jesus was born without a human father. His mother, next verse, his mother was a virgin. Okay? She never had a physical relationship with a man. Isaiah 7:14 says this, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And you know, one time I had a man here years ago. He said, you know, I believe that Mary wasn't a virgin. And I'm like, what? And he went through this great thing, you know, dealing with the Hebrew word and all of that, how it can mean different things. And I said, yeah, but you have a problem. I said, over in Luke, the angel declares her as a virgin. And the word that's used over in Luke is specifically for virgin, having never known a man. And by the way, you kind of mess up the whole theology behind it if this is not Mary's firstborn, right? There's a whole lot that goes into that. But Mary, even Mary asked, Mary said, how can I know? How can I be with child? I've not known a man. Listen, Mary would know whether or not she was a virgin. And all God's people said, amen. She wasn't just making it up. He said, why are you saying this, preacher? We know this. I know, but it's important to know that because of what the Word of God is talking about here. The Messiah, Jesus, came through the womb of the Virgin Mary, which was of the ancestry of Israel. Israel is important in God's eyes. It still is today. The nation of Israel plays a huge part during the tribulation period. Have you ever thought that it was kind of weird or odd that that little tiny nation in the Middle East, which if you look on a map, you really have to magnify the map in order to find the nation of Israel, but there's so much about it than the news. We don't hear that much about Yemen. Most of us couldn't find Yemen on a map, could we? We don't hear that much about some of those smaller countries. Israel is just as small, if not smaller, than all of those. Yet it is constantly in the news. You ever wonder why? Of course, as Christians, we've kind of got an idea, don't we? But for several reasons, we'll get into part of those in a moment. But his destiny, notice his destiny is this. By the way, Jesus Christ had to be born that way in order to demonstrate that he was and is God. In fact, Amber, go with, I think I have a couple other verses. What's my next verse I have? It's too small for me to read in my notes. Yeah, take me to Colossians. All right, for by him, talking about Jesus, he is the Son of God. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And then those last little part, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Jesus Christ is the glue that holds the entire universe together. He's the one that makes it all work. You say, how? Why? Because he is God. What's the next one? Is it Philippians? Did I put Philippians in there or not? No? Okay. All right. We'll skip on to letter B then. All right. And whatever is underneath there. Letter B, his destiny. And notice in this verse, okay, it says in verse number 5, she brought forth a man child who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Can I go ahead and say this tonight? He's not ruling the nations with a rod of iron right now. Our world is seemingly out of control. Have you ever thought about the tribulation period and some of the things that are going to be brought into just really quickly, and within 7 years, how can the world change this much in 7 years? Well, until Joe Biden was elected, I would have never been able to understand how the world could change so much in, what, 18 months? 20 months. But it has literally changed. Did you guys read this recently? Ken Ham posted something about it the other day. The LGB movement is beginning to separate from the T movement. And the transsexuals have become too radicals even for lesbians, gays, and bisexuals. And the lesbian, gay, bisexual groups are coming out and saying, you know what? We never wanted to identify with this. We believe, and they believe that they're biological male or biological female. So even the perversion of the lesbian, gay, bisexual group are recognizing that the whole transgender movement is a mental illness in every shape and fashion it can be. So you're beginning to see some of these splits. And I'm going to tell you something. That's going to be ugly before it's over. But what they're watching is they're watching the transgenders destroy all these sports. Most of the old white guys in America have kind of sat back and not said too much to corporate guys and all of that. You know, they kind of let this thing go. But all of a sudden, there's a man right now that's moving up through the ranks of the LPGA Tour. And he's about to meet all of the qualifications in order to tour in that tour, okay? Whenever you begin to attack the golfing world, there's a group of people that hold and sway a lot of power in the United States that are not going to be happy about their sport being denigrated in that way. So you just watch this before long, all right? It's coming, and it's a steady move. I've been waiting on some washout out of the NBA to decide that he's a woman and then go play and be a superstar to the next, you know, Michael Jordan for the WNBA. Ain't gonna happen. You know, I forget who it is that has a transgender cheerleader. I think the Carolina Panthers does. It's like anybody watches the Carolina Panthers to begin with. But, you know, but they have a transgender. Like, they couldn't find enough pretty women across the United States to become a cheerleader. They had to bring in this transgender guy to do it. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. This is a movement that is mentally ill, to be honest with you. So you're seeing these things happen, but you're seeing this separation all of a sudden. And some of these groups are thinking, you know what, boy, you've really gone way too far. Now, somehow or another, they'll kiss and make up, you know, no pun intended. But they'll all get back together before it's over. And the reason why is because they all have an agenda of sorts. And Donald Trump said this a long time ago, whether you like him or not, he made this statement. He said this about the American people. He said, they're not after me, they're after you. The FBI raided his house the other day. Not so that they could go after Donald Trump. They did it because they're after you and I. 87,000 new IRS agents. I wonder who they're going to audit. I wonder what group that they're going to audit in America that's really escaped a lot of the auditing process. Can I tell you what group it's going to be? You ready? Churches. Now, there are some churches that needed to be audited. I think people like Joel Osteen's and all of those guys. But once we start opening that door up for them, then it doesn't take long for them to get into us. And I'm going to tell you, I have doubts. I was speaking with my accountant the other day, and he has doubts. He said, look, he said, there's no way that the IRS can find and train 87,000 people in the next 10 years. He says, that's 9,000 accountants in the next 10 years. He said, our accounting schools are not graduating that many. He said, so what they're going to do is they're going to take people from other departments and they're going to train them. And you're going to have non-accountants looking at all of your stuff. He said, you talking about a boondoggle, this is going to be it. But we're watching some of these things unravel in our nation right now. And it's not just in our nation, it's around the world. And you've got groups like China and North Korea and Russia. They're all just kind of sitting back laughing at all this. They're watching our military being weakened today because of the woke politics. I talked to Army recruiters the other day over at the Morgan County Fair, and I asked the man, the lead one there, I asked him, I said, how's your recruiting going? He said, I've been doing this for 15 years, and he said, the last 2 years have been the worst recruiting that we've ever had. He said, we're nowhere near meeting our quotas right now. And he said, the number of people that are leaving active duty is shocking. And he said, I was even a recruiter during the Barack Obama years. And he said, even then, we didn't have what we're having today. He said, to be honest with you, he said, our young people do not love their nation. And he said, we're offering unbelievable incentives to get them. He said, there's no other corporation out there is offering. He said, but nobody wants to go and fight a war somewhere across the other side of the world where there's no goal for it. He said, either that, or he says, the woke politics of our United States Armed Forces, particularly our Army right now, he says, and that's the largest one, he says, it's just shocking. So we see some of these things happening in our world, and you wonder, how can these different groups take over? Russia, just 10 years ago, was so weak, they couldn't do anything. But they and China today are just kind of watching all this, and they're laughing. They're seeing this stupidity happen. And I've read the book of the Revelation, the Tribulation, and I've wondered, how can these things happen so quickly? I'm going to tell you something. Things happen pretty quick. But I also know this. I don't believe that these plans were just thought up in the last 6 months or 18 months. I believe a lot of these plans were in the works and already on the hearts and minds of these groups way before now. And that's how these things can happen in the tribulation period. But there's coming a time where the man, Jesus, the God-man Jesus, will rule the nations with a rod of iron. For 1,000 years during the millennial kingdom, he'll rule. This man would come into the world and he'll one day rule the world. How can he do this? First, he can rule because he created it. I had a man tell me recently, he said, I don't like the way your church stands on homosexuality. I said, I didn't make the rules. Yeah, I didn't make the rules. The one that created you made the rule. That's it. God is the creator, therefore he's the one that makes the rules. But Jesus is going to come back and he's going to rule this world because he created it. We just had that verse up there a moment ago. The second reason why he'll do it is because he purchased this world with his own blood. And not only did he create it, he purchased it with his own blood. Amber just had it up there a moment ago. It says they sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Notice this, out of every kindred, every tongue, and people and nation. You know, almost everything that God wants to do something with, the unsaved man attacks. We're seeing open attack today on nations, nationhood. You're just one of those that love your nation. Yes, I am. But can I tell you something? Even all the way through the tribulation and during heaven, there are still separations of nations. Third, he'll rule because he alone is worthy to rule and to reign. But we see in this verse that, of course, the devil wanted to destroy him. The devil wanted to stop this, but he couldn't. So you see, the progeny of the woman is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, this will be the last point. I want you to see how this woman is protected. The man-child Jesus came. He lived his earthly life. He fulfilled the Father's mission. He gave his life. By the way, they didn't take his life. They didn't murder Jesus. Jesus didn't commit suicide. He gave his life to purchase the redeemed of all the ages. And then he arose from the grave. He spent those days here with the disciples. And then the book of Acts tells us that he went back into heaven. Now he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for you and I. But the woman one day will be protected. The nation of Israel has always been protected by God. But God has used other nations, other kingdoms to protect it also. And the last, let's see, since 1948, the United States of America has been a great protector of the nation of Israel. In fact, Harry S. Truman was the first world leader to call, and I can't remember the name of the man that was a president or premier or whatever they call him for the nation of Israel, But Harry S. Truman was the first world leader to call him and welcome him to becoming in the state of Israel. The first. And in fact, Harry S. Truman had a lot to do with it. You may not identify or like his politics, but God put that man in here for such a time as this. And if you read the history of it and how he brought about, helped bring about the setting apart of the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel has been protected by God, and God has used other nationalities throughout the years. But look at it in verse number 6. All right. Now, we've gone back into history. We've looked at the events of history past. We've gone back to Calvary and all of those things. Now, verse number 6 is going to jump us up into the future. Okay. Verse number 6 is going to take us into the tribulation period. Not too far into it, the nation of Israel goes into the wilderness. The Word of God says in verse number 6, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. That's half of the tribulation period. So I want you to see with me, first of all, the distress, okay? The distress. The woman flees from the dragon and she goes into the wilderness to hide. We're reminded here that Satan hates the nation of Israel. He has tried to defeat her and destroy her since she first appeared. No other nation on the face of the earth has suffered as much as Israel has. The history of the Old Testament is filled with story after story after story of world leader, world kingdom, capturing and enslaving the nation of Israel, trying to do away with them. But they have not. Just a generation ago, Hitler did it. You know, now they want to deny that. They want to deny the Holocaust. But it actually happened. Hitler killed at least 6 million Jews in the gas chambers. No telling how many others were murdered before they ever made it to that. And at the same time, Joseph Stalin probably killed 10 million. There were 100 million people that were killed in World War II. What a bloodbath. The Jew has suffered, but here's the truth. The Jew has survived. You want to know that there is a God? Look at the little nation of Israel. There is a God. In fact, Jeremiah says this. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name." He says, "If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever." The only way to get rid of the Jew is to drag the sun, the moon, and the stars out of heaven, according to God's word. That's not going to happen. The hatred, by the way, the hatred against the Jew and the nation of Israel is growing even stronger in our day to day. I have been shocked most all of my life whenever I have found how Jews could vote for certain people or even a certain political party that was against the nation of Israel. But I'm reminded of something Rush Limbaugh said years ago. Rush said, remember this, he said, "A liberal is a liberal before they're anything else." He said, "A liberal is a liberal before they're a woman." And you think about it. How can a woman be for the transgender side of all this? Because they're liberal first. A liberal Jew is a liberal before they're a Jew, before they identify as being a Jew. And it's amazing how those politics get into that. But we see the Muslim nations of the Middle East. Listen, have you guys been paying attention what the Muslim nations have been doing for the last 5 years? They have been invading the nations of Europe on an unprecedented scale. Every time you open up a news app and you read an article, there's another boatload of Muslim men going in as immigrants into Italy and France and on. France has so many no-go zones. And like in Paris, there are at least 8 or 10 no-go zones where the police cannot go because they're Muslim-dominated neighborhoods. The law of the nation of France doesn't even apply there. they actually use Sharia law in many of those neighborhoods. And that's an invasion that's been going on. Don't think that what's happening on our southern border has not been predetermined by others to harm our nation. Detroit, and there's Minneapolis, Minnesota right now is being taken over by Islam. One of the five largest mosques in America is in Plainfield, Indiana. The FBI and all of them have that place constantly under surveillance because of possible terrorist activity coming out of it. There's no such thing as a good Muslim. The God that they worship is a false God. And they're coming in under that guise like a Trojan horse. And one day it's going to bite us. But they hate, they despise the nation of Israel with a devilish, a satanic hatred. But you know what? God still wins. As bleak as it looks sometimes, God still wins. Satan hates Israel. Satan hates Israel because she is a constant reminder that Satan's power is limited. Satan hates Israel because it is a reminder of the glory that he used to wear. And we see in this verse that even whenever Satan gets control of the world for a little while, the nation of Israel still has protection. I told you guys a story, a little bit about it. In the 1920s, there was a man in the U.S. by the name of W.E. Blackstone. This man was so certain that a place called Petra, and there's a place in Israel called Petra, it has really high walls and all of that, would make a great place to hide a people group. But he was so he was so certain that that was going to be where Israel was going to go to, that he invested thousands of dollars to have boxes of Bibles put in the thousands of caves all in Petra and all around Petra, so that when the Israelites flee there, they would at least have a Bible to build read. Now, if you and I know that story, then the enemies of Christ probably know that story. So all those Bibles have probably all been collected and burned by now. But that tells you how much a Christian, a believer, felt like that he needed to get the gospel to the nation of Israel. By the way, one of the reasons for the tribulation period is so that God can get the nation of Israel's attention. And at the end of the tribulation, all the Jews that survive, according to the Word of God, are going to turn to Jesus and recognize that He really is the Messiah. I find a interesting word in this verse. Notice in the second part of it, it says, "And the woman fled in the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God." God has a place prepared. Notice this, that they should feed her. I wonder who they is. You know, there's a lot of theys throughout the Word of God. Unnamed people. Just heroes. Can I tell you something? I believe a lot of times we're theys when we serve God. Nobody knows. Just faith. Now, I have a friend of mine. He believes that America is the they. I don't know. I don't know. So, but in spite of all the hatred and evil of the days of the tribulation, the whole world will literally be turned against the nation of Israel. Literally. Literally. I believe America will turn against her. I believe every other nation will turn their back. But God will see through the needs of His people. He'll either use friendly nations or friendly, friendly forces, or He could, I don't know. Huh, I wonder how God could feed the nation of Israel. Could He rain down manna? Amen. Could He bring quail in there? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He can do whatever He wants to. Amen. The thing I want to get to about all this is this. In this passage of Scripture, we see the woman, Israel, And we see the dragon, the devil. The dragon thinks he's going to win. But we see over and over and over again, Jesus wins. The Jews of this day, as part of their creed, traditional Jews, they recite this. Every day they say this. In fact, they conclude their day with this. I believe with perfect faith in the advent of the Messiah, and though he may tarry, I will await his arrival every day. What they don't realize is he's already arrived. The Bible tells us in John 1:10, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But there is coming a day whenever they realize that Jesus Christ is who he said he was. I would challenge you this week to read Psalms 122:6, and let's begin to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They have a heavy battle ahead of them, and only the prayers of God's people are going to change it. Let's pray.